From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Melissa Block.
And I'm Michelle Norris. The U.S. Supreme Court is considering whether the federal law barring sex discrimination in public education also protects those who report discrimination. The court heard arguments in the case today. It involves a coach who was fired after complaining about the inferior treatment for girls' sports at his school. The question is whether he has the right to sue to get his job back. NPR Legal Affairs correspondent Nina Totenberg reports.
Roderick Jackson was a winning basketball coach in Birmingham, Alabama, when he lost his coaching job. He was fired, he says, because he complained to supervisors that the girls' teams he coached had to play in an unheated, rickety old gym while the boys' teams played in a new gym. He complained about inferior equipment for the girls. And he complained when the school board, to save money, eliminated the winning girls' junior varsity team, but not the losing boys' junior varsity. On the steps of the Supreme Court today, Jackson said that school administrators told him not to rock the boat, that the girls' teams were not that important.
Well, I was told it was just girls. Play ball, you make problems for yourself.
When Jackson was fired, he went to court seeking reinstatement and back pay. But a federal appeals court ruled that the federal law barring gender discrimination in public education does not protect teachers and administrators against retaliation, and that Jackson had no right to sue. Jackson appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, backed by the Bush administration. On the steps of the high court today, he said that without protection from retaliation, a general ban on discrimination is meaningless, since teachers and coaches are in the best position to know about and report discrimination. And he added, he is in effect in the same position as, quote, the young ladies I coach.
You can't separate the two. I am them and they are me. When they practice in the cold gym, I practice in the cold gym.
But Kenneth Thomas, representing the school board, says it's up to parents and students to complain and that the law does not permit retaliation suits like Jackson's.
In Birmingham, parents call up board members every day. And I would want to mention to everyone, this past basketball season, the Birmingham School District had two girls state champions.
Inside the courtroom today, Coach Jackson's lawyer, Walter Dellinger, faced a grilling from conservative members of the court who noted that Congress did not specify a right to sue for retaliation in the law known as Title IX. At the time the law was passed, Dellinger argued it was understood that since similar broadly worded statutes had included a right to sue for retaliation, this law would be viewed the same way by the courts. Justice Kennedy observed that times have changed, that the court is no longer so hospitable to such suits. And Justice O'Connor noted that under Title IX's federal regulations, Jackson could have complained to the Department of Education. Did he do that, she asked? Answer, no. He went up through the chain of command in the school system. Justice O'Connor, if he had complained to the Department of Education, what would have been the remedy? Answer, ultimately, the only remedy is the draconian one of cutting off all federal funding for the school system. Justice O'Connor, so he could not have gotten his job back? Answer, no, which is why the federal regulations for enforcement of Title IX long ago specifically authorized private lawsuits for retaliation. Justice Ginsburg, have federal funds ever been cut off to a school district because of retaliation? Answer, not to my knowledge. Justice Kennedy, an eyebrow raised. You're saying the coach cares more than the federal government? Answer, if he's not able to come forward, then you can't expect the teenagers themselves to come forward. Retaliation against him is part and parcel of discrimination. The law would make no sense otherwise. If the captain of the boys' basketball team joined the captain of the girls' team to protest unequal treatment of the girls, and he was dropped from the team while she was not, it would make no sense that he would have no right to sue. But lawyer Kenneth Thomas, representing the Birmingham School Board, contended that there is adequate protection against discrimination because anyone can complain to the federal government's Office of Civil Rights, OCR, if they see violations of Title IX. And believe me, said Thomas, when OCR comes in, they come in. Justice Ginsburg, noting that OCR can only pursue a very limited number of cases, asked, how many times have they come in your experience? Answer, twice. Question, in how many years? Answer, 20. Justice Ginsburg, a faint, incredulous smile on her face. Twice in 20 years? Answer, yes, ma'am, but they're all memorable. Justice Souter, the argument here is that unless you allow the teacher or the whistleblower to sue, the law is a dead letter. There will be no real-life enforcement. Answer, at the end of the day, our school board is very conscientious. Justice Ginsburg, to say, trust me, is hardly an answer. The sixth grader is in no position to complain. In reality, the only way to know about discrimination is from the teacher. And if he can be retaliated against, well, forget it. All you have is nice words on paper. Justice Breyer, suppose you go back to the bad old days in the 1960s when Congress passed the first civil rights laws. Now, imagine an individual is kept out of a restaurant or beaten up, not because of his race, because he is white. He's protesting the fact that black people he's associated with are being discriminated against at that restaurant. Is the white person unable to bring a lawsuit because he's white? Answer, he could bring a suit. Justice Breyer, and if that is so, why isn't the same true in this case? Answer, because times have changed and everyone has access to Congress now, and Congress didn't specifically authorize this kind of a suit. At the end of today's argument, the court seemed evenly split, with Justice O'Connor likely to cast the deciding vote. Nina Totenberg, NPR News, Washington.